So it once happened that the Alter Rebbe, who had Hasidim throughout Belarus and White Russia and Lithuania, many Hasidim pleaded with him to come visit them. Remember, in the Alter Rebbe's times, there was no Zoom. There was no Facebook Live. There was not even a television. Not even a radio. I think maybe the telegraph was working, but I'm not even sure the telegraph was working. And there was no pictures, no photographs. They didn't see the Alter Rebbe. Some of these Hasidim merited once in a year, some once in 10 years, once in 20 years to see the face of a Rebbe. So they pleaded with the Alter Rebbe, the Hasidim, in a city, a Russian city called Gomel. Or it's called Hummel. It's called Hummel. Some people call it Hummel or Gomel. So the Hasidim of Gomel or Hummel pleaded with the Alter Rebbe that he should come and visit their community. There had been Hasidim that made the trek to Liadi to see the Alter Rebbe, but many Hasidim never managed, and there was their families. So the Alter Rebbe sent them a letter that he would indeed visit the town of Hummel. And he said he would arrive on this and this day. On that day, all the elders of the city came out to greet the greatest tzaddik, the Alter Rebbe, is coming to the city. But he didn't come. They waited all day at the city gates. He didn't come. He went the second day, thought maybe it was a day off. Maybe he was delayed. You know, the trains not only didn't run in Italy on time, there wasn't even any trains in Russia yet. It's a horse and buggy. Maybe something happened. Second day. On the third day, they found out the Alter Rebbe had come. He came that day. But he came incognito. He came very quiet. He wore the equivalent of a baseball hat. And he had maybe put a scarf over his face. He came very quietly. He didn't want to receive all the honor that they had planned for him. The Alter Rebbe didn't enjoy all those that honor that was afforded. He wanted to avoid it. And so he showed up quietly. But the Alter Rebbe did come to the shul. And I suppose Hasidim had a chance to come and to meet him and to listen to Torah. In the story that's been passed down to us, we don't know the details. You're talking now the late 18th century, somewhere in the 1780s or 90s. We don't know exactly what happened in the town, but this we do know. That on that day, a great fire broke out in Hummel. Now you have to know that in the old days, forget antiquity, but even in the olden days, 18th, 19th century, if there's a fire that broke out, the fires were often devastating. The fire could destroy a whole city because they didn't have fire hydrants. You had to get water from wells, get water from rivers. There was no motor vehicles. People were on horses and buggies. You schlep water from a source of water, you run to the fire. By the time you come there, the fire burned out of control. They didn't have power hoses. Today you can have 10 trucks coming with these massive power fires, and it's still a devastating thing. In those days, fire was a terrible, terrible thing. A fire broke out, it could be a disaster. Anyway, all the firefighters came. The firefighters of Hummel and nearby townlets, and everybody came with their leather buckets, and they were working as hard as they could. And it was really a terrible situation. They could not put the fire down. The fire was raging out of control. They could not put the fire down. And there was a real danger that the entire city would go up in flames. The Hasidim, living in the Jewish part of town, ran in and came to the Alter Rebbe. They said, "Rebbe, Rebbe, the town is on fire. What should we do? The town is on fire." The story goes that the Alter Rebbe walked out of the shul where he was, and he looked at the fire. He saw the fire burning. It wasn't far away. He saw the fire burning, and he stared in the direction of the fire for several minutes, and then he turned away. And as soon as the Alter Rebbe turned away, all of a sudden, the wind changed. A massive wind came in and it blew the fire away from the residences into a river, which is apparently called the Sass River. The city of Gomel is on the Sass River, and it blew the fire into the river. In the beginning, the wind was blowing the wrong way, so to speak, heading towards the residence, the residences, and it blew it into the river. And basically, the city was saved. The next day, there was those days in White Russia, there were these noblemen that basically ruled provinces or cities and towns. So this guy, the governor, if you will, of Gomel was called the Graf. That was what they called him. So the Graf of Gomel heard the story had spread like wildfire, excuse the pun, that the fire burned and there was some holy rabbi there, and the holy rabbi looked at the fire and the wind changed. A miracle. The wind changed and blew the fire into the river. So the Graf heard the story and he said, I would like to come and see this holy rabbi. I need to come and see him. He sent a messenger to the Hasidim, to the Jewish community. He says, either the rabbi can welcome to come to my palace, I'd love to host him, or I'll come to him, whichever he wants. The Alter Rebbe said, if the Graf would like to come and see me, he's welcome to visit me. I'm here in Shul, he's welcome to come. And so they made an appointment, and the next day, whatever time that was, the Graf showed up in Shul. The Graf stands in the doorway, and they told the Alter Rebbe, the Graf is here. The Alter Rebbe came out, he met the Graf, and everybody could see from a distance, but they still heard. The Graf looked at him, and he said, you're still alive? He exclaimed, and the Alter Rebbe said, no, you're making a mistake. I am a student of his student. I'm not who you think I am. I'm a student of his student. And the Graf said, okay, thank you. Very nice to meet you. Very nice to meet you. And he said goodbye and he left and the Alter Rebbe went back inside. The Hasidim surrounded the Graf afterwards and they said, Sir Graf, what was that about? What you told the Rebbe you're still alive? He says, no, it's not me, it's somebody. What happened over here? So the Graf said, well, let me tell you a story and you'll understand why I wanted to meet the rabbi. And he told him the following story. He said, I heard a story from my father. My father was a high-ranking officer in the Tsar's army. His battalion was in Mezhibuzh, the Mezhibuzh area, which is really, really almost like the Romanian border, the border of Romania and Russia, what they call in Yiddish Bessarabia. That's where his battalion was stationed. And it happened to be that there were maneuvers. They were getting ready for some, the army needed to be in a state of readiness. So my father had to leave Gomel, where he was the Graf before me. And he had to travel to Mezhibuzh because he was a high-ranking officer and his battalion was doing maneuvers. Now this was a time of war. And because it was a time of war, I'm guessing that this is the 30 Years' War. That's what I'm guessing, which I think was going on in the year 1750 or 1760. I think this is probably the 30 Years' War with Frederick of Prussia and others. So there was a kind of what you call an urgent situation. It was a wartime. It was not normal. People were not allowed to travel freely. And the army was on high alert. And as such, the mail, the normal mail, which was run by the Tsarist government, the mail was not being delivered. And my father had not heard from his wife, my mother, for several months. And he was very concerned about his family. His family is in Hummel. He left his wife. He left her alone. He didn't know what was happening with her. He's here in a state of readiness. They're afraid of some kind of invasion, or they have to go and get a command to go on the offensive. And they're doing maneuvers. And he doesn't hear from his wife. You know, today you travel away. You'll be on Zoom and Facebook and phone calls and FaceTime. Those days, he didn't even get a letter. He's very worried. One day, they receive a visit from the supreme commander of the Tsar's army. And the supreme commander is supposed to review the troops for parade. And something happened to his uniform, his number one uniform, as they call it in the industry. So he sent a high-ranking officer, who was my father, says the Graf, to go and get a tailor. He sent off his jacket to fix something up, something had become torn in his travel, to fix something for parade. Now, you know, a nice Jewish tailor is like a proverbial thing. So this fellow who had been in Mezhibuzh before, because that's where his battalion was stationed, and he was there for now for a while, he knew the tailor. So he came into the tailor, and he brought with him the uniform of the supreme commander, And the tailor, he had a nice relationship. The tailor said, "You're always a happy, joyous fellow. Today you look so sad. What's going on with you? What are you so anxious about?" So he said, "Look, you know, I left my wife many months ago. I left her alone, pregnant, in Hummel. I don't know what's happening with her. There hasn't been any mail. I've written letters. I haven't received any returns. I don't know if any of my mail came to her. And I'm very worried." So the tailor says, "You know, we have in this town, Mezhibuzh, a famous, famous rabbi. The whole world knows about him. People come from all over to seek his counsel. They say he's a miracle worker. He has the ability to see what other people can't see. Maybe you should go see." And he, of course, he's referring to the Baal Shem Tov. So the Graf said, I'll be happy to see him. So the tailor went and he said, he apologized to the Baal Shem Tov. He said, this high-ranking officer, this Graf, he wants to see you. The Baal Shem Tov said, he wants to see me, let him come visit me. He's welcome to come, I'm here. He knows where to find me. So the tailor goes back and he tells it to the Graf. "You want to see him?" He says, "He's welcome to receive you, you can go." So he gets directions and he goes off to the area where the Baal Shem Tov was, that Jewish part of town, and he walks in there. And as he walks into the Baal Shem Tov study, the Baal Shem Tov says to him, "Stand by the window." There's a window in the study. "Stand by the window," he says. Okay. The Baal Shem Tov hands him a mirror, and he says to him, "Look in the mirror and tell me what you see." The Baal Shem Tov is sitting at his desk, and this officer from the Tsar's army is looking in the mirror, and he says, "I see myself flying." I guess you would say like a drone, but there were no drones those days. "I see myself flying above the city. I see myself flying over rivers, marshes, towns. I see myself now flying over the city of Kiev." And now he says, I can recognize the terrain. I'm flying now near the city of Hummel, the place where I live." Baal Shem Tov says, "Keep talking." He says, "I'm going into town. Now I can see the area, the royal gardens. Now I can see in the center of town where my palatial residence is." And he says, keep telling me. And he's flying and he's looking in the mirror and he sees through the iron gates, the round, he sees that the attendants in the palace are running hither and thither, to and fro. And one of them says, "Did you hear what happened? The Graf's wife just had a baby boy. A baby boy, a baby boy." And everybody's talking about the baby boy. He said, "At that point, I could see nothing else in the mirror. The mirror, all I could see was myself." The Baal Shem Tov said, "In a few days, you will have the good news that your wife had a baby boy." And the Graf said to the Hasidim, "I am that baby boy. And I heard the story from my father. Now, when I heard that there's a Rebbe in town who takes a look at a fire and all of a sudden the wind starts blowing the other way, I said, oh, that sounds like the rabbi my father told me about. He must be very old. I got to come and see him." And then I came to look. He didn't look so old. So I exclaimed, "You're still alive?" And he said to me, "No, I'm not who you think I am. I am a disciple of his disciple." And of course, the Baal Shem Tov, his Talmud was the Maggid of Mizrich, and the Alter Rebbe was a disciple of the Maggid. And now I'm going to tell you another story that I heard from a